Dear brothers and sisters, today is the 42nd anniversary of Miss Central Church. God has always been with us. He's always protected us. We give all thanks and glory to Him who's always protected us and been with us. More than any other day, this church was established under God's providence to proclaim that God is living and the Lord is our Savior to the world so that many can attain salvation. To carry out the mission, the shepherds showed God's great and wondrous power through countless hours of prayer and fasting. He led His flock to become God-desired true children and advance to the beautiful kingdom of heaven. He only taught us God's will and about sin, righteousness, and judgment. He shared with us the spiritual realm and the gospel of sanctification through the revelations received in prayer and fasting. We push ahead with zeal as we remember our shepherd's teachings and dedication. God desires us to be transformed and reveal God's true will to the world through our holiness, worship, and life of faith, pleasing to God. He desires us to become shining beacons of light and demonstrate how we are loved and guaranteed by God and how blessed our life is when we wash away sins, cast off all forms of evil, and have our souls prosper. To fully accomplish God's will, we, as a congregation, all pastors, elders, workers, and members, must be of one heart and mind. Celebrating our 42nd anniversary, let's look at how we can be united as one, like the title of today's message. In order to fulfill God's great providence for us, I pray in the name of the Lord that we will celebrate this milestone by becoming more pleasing to God and fully fulfilling God's great providence. Dear brothers and sisters, even couples who marry for love can end up noticing their differences in thoughts, personalities, and feelings. And they try to become one. They have plenty of talks to understand each other, sometimes getting emotional in an effort to be understood. Why? Because their spouse doesn't understand his heart. At first, because they are not understood, they feel upset and resentful, and they appeal with tears. But despite these efforts, conflicts can arise and lead to emotional wounds or even separations. Many couples with serious differences end up living in discomfort and without affection, never really connecting. There are people who are separated and family is broken. Every couple wants to be united. They try to adjust each other and they make efforts. They try hard. Even so, they are not united. Even after living together decades, like 50 years, and they decide to get separated, and they want another to adjust to them, and they live in such. It's also the same for siblings who are brought up together. So, when people with different values and personalities come together in church, would it be easy for them to become one? God says that His believers who are saved are one family and should love each other and live in peace. Yet, we still see conflicts and disagreements within the church, which goes against God's command. Even the early church received similar warnings. So, what should we do to become one? Is it possible for us to become united? No, we can become united? What should we do to become one? Firstly, we can be united when we share a common purpose and goal in our Christian life. Today's scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, tells us, by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, we can become one when we share the same will and goal. When we have the same goal, sometimes we may have different thoughts, but because we have a one goal and purpose, we can bear with each other, we can yield to one another. As we serve each other like that, we can attain to our goal finally. The most important thing is, what goal, what purpose we are looking to, what kind of purpose we are working towards. All the members of a group should have shared goal and purpose. So what is our will and shared purpose? It is to reach sanctification and enter New Jerusalem in heaven. Many churches, their goal is to receive salvation and to give glory. But our Mamin Church, our goal, our aim is not just to receive salvation. We go beyond that and we advance to the most beautiful place in heaven, New Jerusalem. Just receiving salvation and aiming to enter New Jerusalem is definitely different. I cannot explain in detail today but most of you may understand. Our purpose, our goal is not just about salvation, but to end up in the most beautiful place in heaven. This is our goal, which you are running towards. It is also to save many souls and expand God's kingdom. If we align our hearts and minds toward this goal, we can unite whether we are thousands or millions in number. We have seen, we have witnessed, as Mami members from all over the world do so, we've seen them quickly became one despite differences in languages and culture. Especially when overseas members attend our summer retreat, thousands of them come. And when they come to Korea, they meet with people from different backgrounds and many things are unfamiliar to them because they have different languages and from different cultural backgrounds. But all of us have the same goal. They come to the summer retreat or this anniversary, but we feel like a one family. Even though we have lived apart, but when we come together, we share such joy, especially the Mamin Summer Retreat. On day two, we had an athletic meet, we had a sports event, and we saw overseas members becoming one team and competing. We Korean members can practice together, but overseas members actually didn't have time to practice. They just met together just a few days before the summer retreat, and they just participated without much practice, but they acted in such a unified and ordinary manner because there were no quarrels, there were no arguments about who is better. Of course, it's important and we, Mami members, and Korean members also are not jealous when overseas members do well, but they all cheer for them because we all have a same goal. And when overseas members come, especially during the campfire of the Mami Summer Retreat, they sometimes sing songs that are not familiar. We have different songs or CCM. We have some Korean songs that were composed by a Korean music artist. Even though those songs are unfamiliar, despite the different language, when they praise together, we are one. Even though they don't know the language, they pray so passionately. Even though there are no complaints about unfamiliar local foods or climate, they are so happy and they hate to leave, which demonstrates that we are one. The same goes for our daily and religious lives. When you are trying to live a holy life, how do you handle an uncomfortable or unlikable person? When you have weak faith, you are likely to complain or gossip with others. But what kind of behaviors? But that kind of behaviors won't lead to unity. If you truly desire holiness, would you stop there? Also, if the person listening to you is striving for holiness, would he relate to your gossiping? Would he agree with your gossiping? Through weekly teachings, prayer, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he would soon realize his own faults, repent, and let go of uncomfortable and ill feelings. As hatred and discord fade away, you'd be able to serve and love each other in peace. Each person has different will and thoughts. Nevertheless, we have the same goal, which is sanctification. As time passes by, we change ourselves, adjust ourselves to each other, and become united. Sometimes when I sense a bit of tension between church workers, I check whether they're praying and staying on alert. I check whether they are praying and staying on alert. I don't feel the need to chastise them if they are praying and striving for holiness, as I have faith that they will change. If I rebuke them every time, it is not. So I just wait for them. Even when there are discords, when there are unity is broken, when there are troubles occurring, as I wait for them, they will finally change. So I don't have to rebuke them every time. So that's why I just... If everyone runs towards holiness and New Jerusalem this way, we can all achieve unity in the Lord. You have to look at each other with this attitude. When someone loses the fullness, you should not rebuke him. You should not. We have to understand that he is in the process of changing himself. So he's facing some challenges in the process of spiritual transformation. We have the same goal. We will all finally change ourselves. We have to put faith in others. This is a way to sanctification, a way to unity. Looking back at our church's history, I've seen many who started with the same goal and purpose in mind, but lost their way as they ceased to pray and circumcise their hearts. When this happens, walking this narrow way becomes difficult. Some complained and argued, making it hard for others and for the church. Jesus' 12 disciples also experienced something similar. They eagerly followed Jesus, witnessing his miraculous power. As long as they were united in love and purpose, it didn't matter even when people were conspiring to persecute and kill Jesus. They were in trouble with Jesus, but that didn't matter. As Jesus manifested power that was possible only with God and proclaimed the gospel of heaven, they were more than able to triumph. But after a while, Jesus began speaking of his death, which the disciples didn't understand. Despite being with Jesus, Judas Iscariot did not circumcise his heart, but allowed his evil to fester. He ended up betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That's why we must always stay vigilant against a change of heart. When he accepted Jesus' call, and he knew that Jesus was special, extraordinary, and he was inspired by Jesus' power, but he was filled with greed and selfish desire. And then he wanted to exalt himself, Judas Iscariot. He expected that he would enjoy the blessings if we were with Jesus. But he didn't cast off such greed, but he allowed his greed to fester and grow. And when he thought that Jesus would be killed, he decided to betray Jesus. That's why we must always stay vigilant against a change of heart. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 records, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We must cast aside the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life, and stick to the original goal with renewed vigor. Let us all strive to become God's sanctified true children, which is God's will for us, and vigorously march towards beautiful New Jerusalem. Each one of you running towards like this is Mammin members, and then we can accomplish God's marvelous and amazing will. Secondly, we can be united when we set our hearts on good things. Becoming one in heart means sharing the same values and intentions. Being centered on God alone, we must fill our hearts with love for the Lord and truth. This way, differing thoughts and personalities can unite. When we unite in this manner, we can tackle difficult challenges together and bear abundant fruit. But if even a few members of a group hold differing intentions, it can create major issues. It was the case with Judas Iscariot. And I'm talking about the conquest of Canaan now. During the conquest of Canaan, there was a person who caused great trouble for Israel, which was Achan. Outwardly, Achan appeared to be in harmony with others, even fighting in dangerous battlefields. But Achan did not have God's will in his heart. Instead, he harbored disobedience and greed for goods. Despite risking his life in the battles, Achan could not truly unite with them as he didn't harbor truth in his heart. In the end, Achan met his own demise and inflicted a devastating defeat at Ai on all over Israel. As we can see, we must remember to embrace the truth, the Word of God, and the heart of the Lord when doing God's work. To have a more concrete and simpler standard in changing your heart into the truth, it's important to always question whether your thoughts and actions are of goodness. Even though we work, ultimately, we have to have the heart of the Lord. But every moment by moment, whatever you do God's work, as you accomplish God's work, you have to check whether you are doing things with the standard of the goodness. And then, even when you are gathered, like when you have 10 people, 100 people, you can be one. Most of all, you have to check whether your words and actions and attitudes are of goodness. As each one of them checks them, all of the members of a group can become one and bear abundant fruits in that group. So whatever we do, we have to look at the fruits. We also have to look at the ways or process of doing things. You have to check whether, and then ultimately, we can bear God-pleasing fruit. Even though we have the same goal, even though we work with the same purpose, we can truly be united only when we embrace goodness in our hearts. The degree to which our hearts unite in goodness can greatly influence the ease of the work being carried out. whether we embrace goodness or selfish desires, and whether our hearts seek to glorify God or our own honor, can either foster unity or create division among us. When church workers undertake God's work, they all say they are serving God's kingdom and they are loving the church and they are loving the shepherd. But if their hearts are not on good things, no amount of passion will earn them recognition from God. Historically, amidst factional conflicts, each faction insisted that their goal was to serve the nation, the people, and the king. But in reality, they sought personal righteousness, desires, and power under the pretense of serving the nation, instead of acting with a heart of forgiveness, service, and sacrifice. It is why civil strife and violent conflicts arose despite their claims of loving the nation. It's crucial that your heart be on good things when you engage in some work for God's kingdom as well. It should be done with qualities like yielding, forgiveness, peace, service, sacrifice, and patience. With these virtues embodied, the enemy's camp can be broken and the church workers can bear abundant fruits with the help of the Holy Spirit. In your ministry, wherever you are, let me give you an example. In your duties, we have to remember, we have the same goal. I mean, we have a goal. We want to bear fruit. We want to achieve revival. We want to give glory to God. We have the goal. We have our aim, purpose. But each person may have a different ways of working. But even though we have different ways of working, but if you work with the goodness in your heart, you can bear good fruits ultimately, and you can go closer and closer to the God-pleasing purpose. You, in your mission groups, in your cell, in your whatever mission groups you belong, think about that and apply the message. For example, when the president of a church committee passionately promotes an event, what should church leaders under him think about this? There are also other leaders under him. What should they think? Sometimes ordinary church members promote an event. Other times leaders or president promote an event. But now I'm talking about the case where a president promotes an event. So the church workers and ordinary members should all unite together and cooperate. They should think, I'm grateful that she, the president, is trying to help the church through this event. I want to cooperate as much as I can. But some may think the other way. They may question the value of thereafter, since the president will be the one to receive recognition and praise if the event is successful. And the president also has different thoughts, and the way she works is different from mine. And she is just pushing others. So I just let her do what she wants to do, whatever she wants to do. You should not harbor such a thought. You should not think that way. But there are church workers and members who think like that. Also, from the leadership's perspective, there may be moments when church workers fail to unite. Would you be thankful and joyful even under these circumstances? Would you think, I have to pray more to receive spiritual strength. I have to figure out others' positions and with the Lord's heart. Or would you find yourself lamenting the lack of support despite your efforts to improve the church and your committee? Would you think, why aren't they cooperating? Why aren't they obeying me? Why? Do you feel a sense of disappointment when you consider how other church workers seem more focused on their own areas and benefits, leaving you without any support and your duties, making your duties more difficult? Do you feel resentful thinking, next time, I wouldn't bother to care. I just leave things be. our thoughts and ways can also differ when working together. If people in the leadership insist that others conform to their ways, or if disagreements escalate to a big argument, how could they say they are fulfilling God's work? The Bible says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves." May you all reflect on your meetings and actions in each organization and group. If you have better suggestions, you are allowed to share them. But have you ever felt uncomfortable when others didn't accept your ideas or felt slighted when your opinions weren't acknowledged? Those who genuinely seek to do good will humbly accept others' perspectives. They will sacrifice, dedicate themselves, and unite to make the best of the decisions made. Some people share their opinions aggressively when faced with differing views. Others just... When they hear others' opinions, they have aggressive attitude. Others just retreat. They just retreat if their ideas aren't accepted after a few tries. This is not from a willingness to give up their will or to be united. Outwardly, it may seem like they're conceding, but internally, they're closing off their hearts. They want to avoid being labeled as disruptive, so they only do the bare minimum. If they don't have to do something, they just look the other way. And they just do things only in a limited amount. Although they have the capacity to make things more successful and prevent failures, they often choose to ignore the situation because their ideas are not accepted. Because they don't take the initiative, they don't work positively. When they take the initiative, they're so positive. They work so passionately. They look so happy, when they are not a leader, when they have to help the leader, they look displeasant, they look upset, and they work negatively. There are some church workers who did that. As I check the reason why, when they took the initiative, when they were leader, they joyfully worked. But when they're not a leader, they don't work with joy. I realize that. Their attitudes are very regrettable in God's eyes. So wherever you are, in your workplace or in your business, you have to check your attitudes. So when you are not a leader, of course, it's not to say that you have to interfere with your leader. You have to help your leader with a joyful heart, and you have to help a leader not make a mistake. You shouldn't be a bystander. You shouldn't look the other way. You shouldn't ignore or neglect. When you do so, you cannot be acknowledged, even out in the world. And in God's kingdom, you should not let this thing happen. This stems from a reluctance to see the things they opposed succeed, or from the belief that any extra effort will only result in more work and no recognition. They know that they won't receive the credit, so they don't want to help. They don't want to help positively. When results fall short, they might subtly express satisfaction, saying, "I knew this was coming. I was right." In fulfilling God's work, the most valued aspect is the spirit of goodwill. It's not about who is right or wrong or about producing immediate results. God desires respect, understanding, service, and forgiveness between each other. When God's children resembling Him unite with good hearts in doing His work, God takes responsibility for the fruits. Through the voice of the Holy Spirit, God turns the impossible into the possible and elevates what is already good. Since Satan cannot find any grounds, God can give fruits of blessings as He wants. It's important to always focus on our hearts on the good, discern through goodness, and unite in goodness. I pray that you will fully embody the heart of Jesus Christ and ensure that your efforts and dedication bring glory solely to God. We know that we have to work with goodness, and when we do God's work, we have the goal of sanctification and becoming true children and New Jerusalem. With this goal, we have to work for God. But until we achieve perfect goodness, this may be difficult. As I told you, when we take the initiative, you work positively. But when you are not a leader, when you have to help the leader, you have to positively help. But your attitudes, I mean, you may be confused what kind of attitude you have to take. And you have a good opinion, and you present your opinion, but your opinion is dismissed. You feel ignored. Your pride is hurt, and you feel hurt. You present your opinion with a good intention. You speak with a good intention, but your leader dismisses your opinion, and you feel hurt. And the next time, even when you have the good opinion, you don't present it. What kind of attitude you should have? You know, feeling hurt demonstrates that you love yourself and you have resentment in you. When you do that way, we can discover ourselves when we work for God. I talk about in order to achieve goodness, in order to reach our ultimate goal, we have to discover the resentment, upsetting feeling. We have to, you know, even though your opinion is dismissed, you don't need to feel you are ignored. This is judgment. It's your feeling. Your feeling, according to your feeling, you judge that another person ignored you. This is judgment. And you can think it in a good way. Or you can think that the leader has a better option or he's so busy. If you think in good ways, you have no reason to feel hurt. But because you love yourself, because you want to be respected, you are hurt just because of a single word. You feel upset. You have such narrow-mindedness. You have to fix that. This is how you also, as you work for God, you have to make sure you speak in goodness, feel in goodness, and act, achieve things in goodness. Then ultimately, we can united as one and accomplish this work. And let me conclude a message. Dear brothers and sisters, Psalm chapter 133 verse 1 tells us, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." This passage refers not to biological brothers, but to the spiritual family united in faith. When God's spiritual family acts according to His will, loves one another, and becomes united as one in expanding His kingdom, it is seen as good and pleasant in God's eyes. The blessings that arise from this unity are shown in verses 2 and 3. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded a blessing, life forever. Aaron was the first high priest anointed by God and represents all workers called to serve in his name. This signifies that the fullness and inspiration of the Holy Spirit will empower the workers to carry out their duties competently. Hermon refers to the highest mountain in Israel. The dew refers to the droplets formed on the plants to make them alive, even in dry seasons. And it spiritually represents the Word of God. Namely, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's Word comes upon our hearts. So, we always offer psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and give thanks in all circumstances, thereby obeying God's will. This is how God would bless us when we are united. Through the unity in church, God's kingdom and His will can be accomplished mightily. I pray in the name of the Lord that we will grow more united in Christ, love, truth, and the Holy Spirit, fulfill God's will shown to us in the end time, and accomplish His kingdom more greatly.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips. I've met and experienced God. I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.